And we'll get started. You know, it's welcome to the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what we're dealing with now. I mean, given recent changes, this is the way it is now. The kingdom of heaven on earth is the church, and our title is the kingdom of heaven. It operates in a particular way. And men do not get in way of the way the Word says it operates. And so if you've had a traffic cop for you, if you've had someone who's run interference for you, and someone who's gotten in the Lord's way to keep you in the game, that'll never happen again here. But there's some things you need to know. And I just welcome to the kingdom of heaven. The Word will be preached. And for those of you who are a little nervous that there would be some compromises going on, you need not be nervous. What you need to be nervous about is the fact that the Word of God will be preached more refined, more clearly, more like Jesus than you have ever experienced in your life. And that will be the way it is. And woe to those who are going to offer up some puff message God will probably let them know they ought to be quiet and sit down. But this is going to be a bolder message than maybe you're used to. This is going to be a message, you know, that you can listen to or not listen to. Amen. You know, everyone gets to decide what they want to do. And I do want to thank our brother Mario, who risked everything he is and everything he has to get us to operate as the kingdom of heaven of the Bible. I love my brother, and I appreciate him doing that. And here we go. And for those of you who are worried that we're going to get wimpy and flabby, you need not worry after tonight, but with the changes of the way things are going to operate, I told Mario Monday night, I said, brother, that's awesome, but a message has to be preached, and he said, and fast. So because people are going to die, okay, people are going to die spiritually if they don't have this message. They're just going to die and not know why, which is all too tragic and all too common. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yeah, that's what God says. You know, first off, you know, no matter how smart you are or how convicted or how much you think you understand, the fact will always be that as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, God's ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, I have a problem in that I sometimes believe that God and I are on the same page with things, and that I can go ahead and orchestrate on His behalf. And that is not true. I guess the biggest way that I think is most relevant for us is the following. And this is a way in which God's ways are different than our ways. And God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's going to require a change, and you're going to have to be alive. We're not turning there, but in John chapter 10, we're aware that Jesus says that His sheep listen to Him and know His voice. We're also aware that Jesus says, you know, my sheep don't listen to a stranger's voice because they don't recognize His voice. You know, Jesus never ran the kingdom of heaven. Jesus never ran His ministry, and nor did the apostles or anyone else ever run the church in a way with barbed wire, balls and chains, you know, bricks, walls, rails, you know, cages. They didn't lock people up to make sure they stayed in the kingdom of heaven. They didn't lock people down to make sure they didn't wander away. The only thing that kept the sheep following Christ is the recognition by the sheep of the truth. That is the only thing. There were not threats, warnings. There were not, you know, shackling down. You know, there was not a parceling out. There was not a wrapping up. Bottom line is, and the way it'll be here from now on, is the voice must be recognized by the sheep. And if the sheep don't recognize it, they aren't sheep. And if the sheep don't recognize it, they won't know what to follow. And you'll begin to follow strangers and grope around in the dark like many in the Bible did, not knowing what the deal is. And you can go be like that Dr. Seuss chicken and say, are you my mother? Are you my mother? And you will have no way of knowing because you do not recognize the voice of the shepherd. And so there will be no other mechanism by which we will institute on behalf of God's kingdom a way to keep people in the church. The church, the ministry, the sheep, the people will have to recognize Jesus' voice. And that is just one of many ways, but the most relevant tonight, in which God's ways are a lot higher than our ways. For I think I could coerce somebody to stay in. I might think that I could, you know, get somebody to stay in by some sort of other means, though they are blind and can't hear a thing I'm saying or what the Bible's saying. And you know, it's not true that way in the Bible, and it won't be that way here. And so one of the ways God is, he says, no, no, no. We don't shackle them. Everyone does it for free and freely does it. And they're going to have to recognize the truth. He goes on in verse 10, still God talking. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, amen. You know, God has a plan. I'm sick of having my own plan. God has a plan, and his plan for his word is that it go out like rain. That God's plan for his word is that it just falls like rain. You know, and when rain falls, some places it waters things. Some places it just puddles up and doesn't really go anywhere, waits for the sun to burn off. Some places it causes a flood. Some places it actually helps things grow. But God's goal for his word is not that we put it in a holster, pull it out, and shoot it, you know, very discriminately. His goal for his word is that it goes out like rain, and it falls how it falls. That's his plan. His goal is that as it falls, it will do and accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Now, my ways aren't high enough to understand all those purposes. My ways are not high enough to understand what in the world God is trying to accomplish by having the word go out and, you know, most people reject it out of hand. Or even those who follow it one day, ultimately the majority of those people reject it. I don't have to be up with the purposes. I can have the low earthly thoughts, and God will accomplish his purpose when his word rains down like rain, and his goal is to accomplish his purpose for which he sent it. And so we just are going to open the floodgates of the truth, and the floodgates of the truth will flood, and it will do what it does. And there is something that happened. Move ahead to Mark chapter 3. There is something that happens that's very cool, and that's why there's all kinds of trouble in the kingdom of heaven as we move to Mark chapter 3. And that is, when there is rain coming down, when there is the word of God really being preached, there's a little patch of fertile soil, a little patch of something of God growing, a little patch of, you know, wow, something that's just unique and rare and people haven't seen before. A little patch of something in the barren wilderness, a little patch of something in the desert, a little oasis, and it's God's word building, creating this patch by raining down on fertile soil. Amen. We can't go through all the scriptures tonight. But when the word of God is preached, a little patch occurs. You know, a believer. Imagine such a thing. A believer of the truth? Yeah. You know, maybe even a ministry. Wow. You know, maybe, you know, a ministry that's part of the church, which is the kingdom of heaven on earth, and it grows. But you know, you take a look, and Florida's a good example. You take a look at where there's like fertile soil or moisture or life or life-giving things, and you'll find all kinds of stuff in and around it. You'll find bugs, weeds, you know, things that really weren't intended for. You know, the grass is growing good, amen. And, oh, here come the weeds. I need to take advantage of the fertile soil. Here comes the weeds. You know, the bugs are like, man, the eating's good. Those plants are yummy. And it's like, well, that wasn't intended for the bug. And this is a little patch we have. And you need to know how the kingdom of heaven is in the Bible, how the church is in the Bible, so that you know how to deal with what we're going to have from this day forward. And here we go. Let's look in Mark chapter 3. I rarely go with back-to-back stuff from Jesus, but tonight we're actually going to. In Mark chapter 3, verse 31, Jesus' mother and brother think that he's crazy, and so they've gone to go take charge of him. And in verse 31, it says, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. Now, in this little patch of fertile soil, in this little patch of something that the Word of God grew, you will always find outsiders trying to meddle and mess with the people who love God. And here it is, Jesus just starting his ministry. We're early in Mark 3. And Jesus' mother and brothers, you know, meddlers will come in disguise, standing where? Outside. And they sent someone in to call him. Let me tell you our old mode. The mode I've had on and off and mostly lately. And I am abandoning in favor of living the Bible. My old mode was to cut off the outsider. My mode was to cut off the insider who really wasn't committed, but was just a weed. Obvious in every way of the Bible. I want an apology. You'll have to get that from heaven. You know, I'm not doing that anymore. The fact is, Jesus' mother and brothers came on the scene as outsiders to meddle with the ministry, to meddle with the truth, and to mess with Jesus. And in a ministry of the truth, there will always be outsiders. There will always be weeds coming upon the scene. There will always be bugs coming to just eat your growth. There'll always be. Why? They don't want to go live on the sidewalk when there's a patch of some food there. And so they will always meddle, amen? That'll always be the case. You know, you think of it in worldly terms. People talk about America. You know, bottom line is America's a free country, blah, blah, blah. And so it'll always be meddled with and messed with because it's easy to mess with. Amen. End of it? Okay. The kingdom is so much easier to mess with. We're gonna get the scriptures. But we start out with my old mode would be to cut off the outsider. Don't talk to them. Don't listen to them. Don't email them. No response. Not telling you anything. Ask me a question, I'll answer nothing. You know, and I'm changing. I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm changing. The outsider is a permanent fixture in the kingdom. We're going to see in a minute. And the new mode is simply disciples are going to have to be disciples. You know, I would cut off the outsider, cut off the meddler, cut off the messer with, just to spare the disciple from having to be a disciple. And you know, that never worked for me. You know, it was always okay. You know, I always did recognize the voice of the shepherd. And I guess it ought to be fair of me to expect that disciples of Jesus would recognize Jesus' voice when it comes time to recognize a voice. And I can no longer protect you from the fact that you have to be able to recognize Jesus' voice. And I can no longer protect you in a worldly way, a tradition way, a rule taught by men way, protect you from the meddler who is a permanent condition in the kingdom of God and will only get worse and worse and worse and will be pointed out with the truth and you'll have to recognize the truth when it's spoken. And so the new mode, in accordance with the scriptures, is that disciples are going to have to be disciples. And I fear for most of us, disciples to be disciples. We'll see how Jesus handles this. You gotta love this. Verse 32. A crowd was sitting around him, that's Jesus, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. It's so cool how the Holy Spirit will always reveal what's really going on. Now, I'm going to hit this and hit this hard, so just hang in there. And you can always do what you want. You can always ignore me. You can listen or not, or you can be convicted. A crowd was sitting around him. You know, if you don't have conviction about what it means to pray together and sing together and fellowship together and be together in a circle, as we'll see later, as they were, then you need to either get conviction about that or you're in big trouble. You're in huge trouble. But Jesus has his followers, his believers, sitting around him, and they tell him this, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you, which is Satan's ploy. That's what Satan does. It's what Satan does best. It's so recognizable for those with eyes. Satan wants to pull you out of the circle of the fellowship and take you outside and talk to you, because it's really, really important. Now, I got news for you. Let's suppose for a minute it was important. God would shoot that thing in the head, make it unimportant just to teach you that you got dragged from the inner circle of the life in the fellowship to go outside and talk to someone on the outside. And that's how Satan operates. And many of us do that. Not only do we fall into that, oh, yes, you need to talk to me. It's very important. I had a good conversation with so-and-so. Forget it. I mean, you can do that. And many of us do that. We will pull others outside. It's very important I talk to you now. And it's the work of Satan. That's what's happening here. I mean, Jesus' mother and brothers came to listen? No, if they came to listen, they'd get in a room and sit around and listen. But they don't have any interest in listening. They have an interest in dragging Jesus out of the fellowship, getting him outside and killing him and his ministry. And you know what? Here, you can do anything you want. You know, you can get up now and say, hey, brother so-and-so, I need to go talk to you about something. And it's, of course, of no importance whatsoever, but you can go do it. That'll be fine. How does Jesus handle this? Verse 33. This is so awesome. Jesus answers, verse 33, who are my mother and my brothers, he asked. You know, I love the fact that Jesus did not have several different lives. You know, he didn't have like a church life, and then a home life, then a family life, and a work life. I mean, he didn't have a college buddy life, a hometown life, an old boss life, a next door neighbor life. And so he's like, who are my mother and my brothers? I mean, many of us have all those plates in the air. Well, I'm struggling. It's very exhausting keeping all these plates in the air and dealing with every different ways. And Jesus is like, who are my mother and my brothers? What are you talking about? I've only got one life. I don't have a next door neighbor life. I don't have a work life. I don't have a church life. This is my life. Many of us have too many lives. And that's fine. You can have as many lives as you want, Sybil, and you will not make it to heaven. You can have as many split personalities as you want, be unlike Jesus, and God is teaching you if you could see, but you can't. There are not many lives. Verse 34. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers! Exclamation point. He looked at those seated in a circle. I got news for you. You want to know who my brothers and my sisters are? They're the people sitting around in a circle with me. They are not the people on the fringe. They're not the bugs coming to eat the harvest. They're not the weeds coming to choke the harvest. They're not the people who think it's so, so important that I talk to you right now outside. Those are not my brothers and sisters. And Jesus let them know, I got one life. How is it? Here are my mother and my brothers! Exclamation point. His actual mother and brothers are sitting outside. He has one life. You know, you're going to have to be that way, or you can't make it. You will not make it in the kingdom of heaven if you're not like this. You will not make it. Don't listen to me. Then don't make it, and then you say, well, that was right. And he is emphatic. Exclamation point. I mean, here they are. The people in here with me are with me. The people outside of here are not with me. I only have one life, and I don't have a split personality. And the bottom line is, what he also said is, he who does not gather with me scatters. You're either one or the other. Either you gather with Christ or you scatter. I'll tell you this. You either gather with me or you scatter. And I got my eye on you, but I know that in the fertile patch of the reign of God raining down and building a ministry, we will always have weeds, we will always have crabgrass, dandelions, bugs, aphids, flies, everything. We'll have the dog come potty on the patch rather than potty on the sidewalk. That'll always be the way it is, and it's okay. It's okay. I know who's who. God knows who's who. I will pray that you know who's who. And then Jesus, bottom line, you gather with me or you scatter. Here are my mother and my brothers, and that is it. We don't, you know, well, they gather with me a little bit. They do not. There's no gray area. My question of you, of your brothers and sisters, is that a person who gathers with you or is that a person who scatters with you? Is that a person who gathers with you? No. Well, amen. They scatter. They have no other function until they become a disciple, repentant, and gather with you. It's one or the other. Well, I don't like it being that sharp in that gray area. I'm sure you don't. Verse 35, Jesus goes on. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Whew. Period. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. This is very important. It is easy. It is easy for us to get some security in the fact that we're part of this ministry. Because for all of our problems and for all of our weaknesses and for all of our sin and all of our failings, this is a place where the truth is preached. And it is tempting and easy to think that if you can just hang in the ministry, you are okay. And the important thing to know is, if you've felt secure in that, and I've been tempted to feel secure in that over my 12 years in the Lord, that security blanket is gone. Because the kingdom will always have these meddlers and outsiders fiddling with the ministry. And you may be with us, and you may just be an outside meddler, a bug, a weed. You search out the scriptures. And just being here isn't going to do it. Because Jesus didn't say, everyone here with me is my brother and sister and mother. He said, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. And the only way to be that is to do God's will. And just getting here isn't going to get it. Just being a part of things is not going to get it. Hanging out here for years and years is never going to get it. See, that's not the teaching. The teaching is whoever does God's will. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as you do God's will. Then you're in. But the security of, you know, I've hung in. I'm still going to the ministry. I'm hanging in there. It's kind of difficult. Sorry. There's all kinds of people who will be part of this ministry. We're going to look at something here in a minute, so hang in. And you clear up any questions like, is that really what that says? There's no security. The other cool thing is, you think of your brother, your sister, and your mother, and you think of your blood relatives or whatever, I guess. And, you know, the kingdom of God is not related by blood, other than the blood of Christ. See, I'm not related to Pat by my blood or his blood. I mean, he's my brother, but Jesus is blood. And some of us don't know that. And, you know, we think, well, you know, there's always got a place for mom and dad and brother and sister. And it's like, well, I don't know where that is in the Bible other than that how you're supposed to treat people. But, you know, you're not related. The relationships in the kingdom are not based on your blood relatives or, you know, same neighborhood or same background or where you speak the same language or we're the same color or, you know, we have a lot of interests. I mean, it isn't that way. I mean, bottom line is the people I'm closest to are the people who do God's will. Has nothing to do with them relating to me. I mean, I consider this today and yesterday and all week, really. It's like the people I'm closest to are the people who mostly do God's will. Has absolutely nothing to do with their relations with me. It's like, that's a weird thing, you know, but it's true. Go to Matthew chapter 13. There is no security in being here. No more. All done. And if you had security in making it here or being here or not giving up on here, you're in big trouble. And you got to go back to doing God's will. We're moving ahead in Jesus' ministry, moving back a book to Matthew 13, verse 47. Jesus is going to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like, and this is what it's like. So you need to see it the way it is, recognize it, and not flip out. Because disciples, you're going to have to be disciples. Verse 47. Jesus talking. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Okay, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now you can go to Matthew 16 on your own time and see where, I mean, you don't have to get weird. The kingdom of heaven in the Bible is sometimes referred to what he means, heaven, when it's obvious, and oftentimes more likely, more often used where he's talking about the church. And we know that simply because Jesus in Matthew 16 told Peter that he would give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Peter is not up there evaluating your sin, standing by to defend you before God, unlike many jokes and understandings. Peter obviously starting the church in Acts 2. Jesus is talking about the church again in verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven, the church, is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. It is like a net. You know, you get what you get with a net. right? I mean, if I got a fishing pole and I throw, you know, a marshmallow on it, there's some kinds of fish that don't want a marshmallow. If I put a little fish on the end of a fishing pole hook and throw it into the lake, there's some kinds of fish, maybe little fish, that can't eat a fish. And therefore, it's discriminatory. And therefore, it's not like a fishing pole thrown in the lake. You know, if I took a fishing pole and threw a diamond into the lake, I would find greedy people who like shiny stuff. If I threw a hot dog, I would find hungry people. If I threw money, I'd find people who are either poor or love money, otherwise rich. The kingdom of heaven, the church, does not collect people like a fishing pole. It collects them like a net. And with a net, you go down and you get what you get. All right. Let down into the lake. Where? The lake. See, if you let a net down at one of those SeaWorld aquariums, you'll get some of those pretty fish. You know, if you let a net down at one of the Disney aquariums, you'll get some of those healthy, pretty fish. You know, if you let a net down in this aquarium, you'll get fish that are well taken care of and don't have many diseases, it doesn't look like. The net goes down into a lake, a very unsterile environment, a place where you get what you get. You get some mud, you get some muck, you might even get yourself some sort of snail, slug. Like, I'm not fishing for snails. You let it in the lake and it's a net, you get what you get. This is how the church is. You with me? Because some of us wonder, well, how did that person get in here? Well, when you drop a net into a lake, you get whatever gets in the net. And caught all kinds of fish. Caught. What caught you here? See, I'm aware that there's one righteous motivation to be here and an infinite number of unrighteous ones. How did you get caught? Were you just broken over the Jesus on a cross and gave your life up to God? Well, amen, that'll catch you. Amen. Or were you just so desperate, you were at the end of your rope, whew, I got to do something. Well, a net could catch you if that's the case. Were you just like worn out? Whew, I can't even go on. Net drops on you and all of a sudden you're in it. Well, look, I'm now in this. Okay, well, whatever. Did you have your eye on somebody? Wow, you know, that person's pretty good looking. Maybe I'll hang out with them. Did you think somebody would give you stuff? If I hang out here and pretend to be a disciple, people will help me out. How did you get caught in this net, which is the kingdom of God, the church on earth? There's only one righteous reason to be caught in the net. But you get all kinds in the kingdom. All kinds of fish. Amen. You know, that place where everyone looks alike and dresses alike and sounds alike is not the kingdom. Huh? How do we know that? Because the kingdom of heaven is like a net let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. Oh, I got it now. Verse 48, Jesus goes on. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Now, when was that? When it was full. We live in Metro Orlando, a population of better than 1.5 million people. We have let a net down into this city, and it is far from full. That's all right. It's pretty barren. So it's going to be a while. When it was full. So you're going to wonder, man, what's up with this ministry? Things are out of control. Things are too loose. Are we compromising? Well, I'll tell you what. When this thing gets full, God is going to do what God is going to do, but not until it gets full. So keep fishing with your net. And don't get nervous. Has God You know, when it's full, God will get involved. If you're insecure about your conversion and insecure about your relationship with God so much that you don't think God is with you, I imagine you're struggling. But if you know God is with you by the power of your impossible life and by the power of your conversion and the power of your faithfulness, then you can bide your time, I think, in the Holy Spirit and know that God will do God's deal when the net is full. And it ain't full, right? I mean, let's see, 15 people, 1.5 million. What's the math on that, Pat? we got a ways to go. When it was full. What happens when it's full? Something to look forward to. The fishermen pulled it up on shore. Oh, no. Up on shore. You know what that means? There will come a time when there's no more squirming for you. No more slithering away. No more getting away with it. No more swimming past the fish that you don't like. No more breathing, swimming, period. No more. You are a fish, and it is time to go to shore. You know what? There will be a time to an account. You will have a time to account for you and your life. We're going to get to. And that will be the time when the net is full, and God, using the fisherman, pulls that thing on shore. And then the slimy, slithery, try to get away with it people are the most obvious. Flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop. It's like, well, those are the people causing trouble down in the net, in the kingdom, in the church. People trying to get away with stuff. People trying to justify themselves. People trying to, you know, slither their way through and call themselves a disciple. When it's full, the fishermen will pull it up on shore. And then what will those fishermen do? Hurry up and get you back in the water? No, no, no. They will sit down. Sit down. Hurry it up, hurry it up, hurry it up. You know, it's my tendency to hurry it up and wheel and deal with people. And I'll talk about this in a minute and get some fish out of the net and keep some other fish safe in the net. And it doesn't work that way. You see, they're going to sit down and take their time. That's how it'll be. When the net is full. They're going to sit down. Hey, Pat, woo, got that up on shore. Oh, we have a cold one here before we sort these out. A cold one? Man, it might take, well, with Pat, 20 seconds to drink a cold one. You know how long that is to hold your breath? They will sit down and take their time going through the fish. And what if you're on the bottom of the pile? They sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. But threw the bad away. That's pretty awesome. Jesus letting us know that the church, the kingdom of heaven, certainly not heaven, because we know from the teaching of the Bible, this won't be going on in heaven. But the kingdom of heaven, the church on earth, there are good and bad fish. Amen. And the fishermen, the angels, as we'll see, we'll sort them out. And I'm very relieved and must tell you, I'm very relieved that that's not my job. And it will never be my job. And I'm easy and light because I will never undertake that task. How awesome is that? And so they will sort out the good and the bad. And that's awesome. But here's the thing to know. A church, a ministry, the kingdom of heaven, that is perfect, is not the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven has good and bad fish in it. And so I guess we could try to sterilize ourselves. I guess we could try to clean it up and pretend we're a SeaWorld lake. But the fact is that I think a lot of us, and this is an adjustment for me, amen, a lot of us need to understand that this is how it is. Good and bad fish. Amen. Bring it on. Not my job. I will rain it down, the Word of God, and it will do what God wants it to do. Amen. Thank you and good night. How easy is that? And now, if you want a perfect ministry, you don't want the kingdom of heaven. If you want a perfect ministry, you don't want God's ministry. And that's just how it is. And I'll tell you what I think of you. See, I can do that carte blanche now. I can tell you what I think of you. I got no qualms. I am unhindered. I'm less hindered than I have ever been in my entire 12 years in the Lord. Amen. I turned 12 on Monday, this coming Monday, so I'm not there yet. But I'm less hindered than I've ever been in my entire spiritual life. I'm going to tell you what I think of you. If you're a bad fish, you better repent. Or don't repent. Fine. The angels will deal with you, and you can flip and flop on shore and state your case and jump in the place where they throw the bad away. And that'll be awesome. But the kingdom of heaven has bad and good fish in it. So when you look around and you think, well, that person isn't committed. Well, that person is approving grossness. Well, that person's in sin. Welcome to the kingdom. And when it's full, that thing will be locked up on shore. People sit back, have a six-pack, and those angels will sort it out at their leisure. And I'm excited to let them do it, and I don't have to. Verse 49. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to have to be interested in your own salvation to make it in the kingdom of heaven. I cannot overcome your lack of interest in your own relationship with God. I just can't overcome it. You're going to be separated out. And it'll be like that at the end of the age. Not today. See, it won't be like that today. Today, hey, come, hang out, fellowship. And I remember there are times when I was in sin. Just in sin. And I just wanted to, like, play cards and drink big gulps. I've told many of you this before. I just wanted to play hearts, the card game, and drink big gulps. And I was happy. You know, enjoying my freedom. And I'm in sin. You know, I'm ready to fall away the next day. And then I'm back the next day. Light and easy. The freedom ministry, I called it. Slave to depravity. And it's awesome. Because whatever you want to do, you do what you want to do, and God will deal with you and deal with me and deal with us. And I'm just going to try to fill this thing up. And if we fill it with carp, amen, we'll get that thing on the shore, and maybe God will have an opportunity to drop a new net in a new lake. But I'll tell you, you know, not today, but at the end, the angels will do this. It's not happening. You don't have to get nervous at me. Brother, what do you think about this? You know, we're going to do our job. There are certain very specific times when the disciples of Jesus must expel somebody from the ministry. Amen. Those are pretty clear cases. But in the meantime, I'll let God do God's job. But imagine this. I mean, imagine the frustration. Should you be tempted to do this as I am, imagine this. And then maybe you can humorously say, okay, amen, I don't need to do that. Imagine what it would be like if I'm going to police the ministry. Or Jonelle's going to try to police the sisters in the ministry. Or Michael's finally had enough, and he's going to police the ministry. All right? Imagine this scenario. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is like a net dropped down into a lake. And all kinds of fish are in it. We got ourselves a problem, brother, down below. Let's go check it out. And we go down, blah, 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 and we're underwater. Of course, we're underwater in a lake. You can see nothing. This is no swimming pool with a light switch. You can see nothing. And you're feeling around, and you're cutting open the net. And one got away. Where'd that one go? No, you don't say that word. You go, blah, 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 blah. And then Michael says back to me, blah, blah, blah. And I go, blah, blah, blah. We signal, we come up, we come above the water, and I say, brother, one got away. I cut open the net trying to deal with the situation down there. And he goes, I didn't seal it back up. There are more getting away. Blah, blah, blah. We go back down, and we're looking. And now there's half of the ministry left. And then we're feeling around. This is a big fat one. It must be a good one. Of course, it's a bottom feeder carp. You can't see, and you don't know the difference. This is a little one. We could let it go. But it's a baby. It'll grow big. You don't even know what you're doing. And you're fluttering around in the dark, can't see, can't swim, drowning, headache. Can't communicate, can't talk, trying to do God's job. Now I'm done. By the grace of God, I have zero interest in ever doing that ever again. By the grace of God, I have no interest in drowning. I have no interest in blindly trying to do God's job. I have no interest in trying to talk, blah, 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 blah. I have no interest. I will tell you plainly what I think and leave it at that. I'm good with it. And you can be good with it or not good with it. It'll be up to you to actually say, you know what, I just hanging out here isn't going to get it. You know, I'm going to actually have to do God's will, it looks like. Since they are Jesus' brother and sister and mother, I'm going to actually have to scrape myself off the floor and do God's will, and it's not good enough for me just to be here and go, well, that's what you think, brother. Amen. You do what you want. But I'm not going underwater and talking to my brother and trying to figure things out down there on a thing that's not my job and a net that's not full. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I love the renewed zeal that we can get in the preaching of the truth. And disciples have to be disciples, otherwise they can't make it. I mean, that's awesome. So I'm excited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul writes, "For we must all," that's every one of us, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." See, it is not enough to be okay with me. It is not enough to be tolerated in the ministry. It is not enough to find yourself in that patch of fertile ground that the Word of God raining down from heaven created. It is not enough. For everyone will get their opportunity and has an appointment to stand and appear before the judgment seat of Christ as he sits in that circle with his brother and sisters and mothers, and you get to appear in that circle, and he gets to say whether you're someone who does God's will and you're one of them or not. And that's awesome. Nothing here is ever going to be enough to get you through on that appearance and on that day and that appointment and that date. Nothing. And you will get yours, and I will get mine, and everybody will get theirs. And that's awesome. And this will be a ministry where we know that's the case, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it is not enough to be tolerated here. Verse 11. "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience." I'll speak for me. My ways are not the Lord's ways, and mine are stuck on the bottom of the earth, and his are in heaven. Amen. But I do know what it is to fear the Lord. I do know what it is to respect the Lord. I know what it is to deny myself in reverence to the Lord. And because of that, I do try to persuade men. And you think I've been on you before? By the grace of God, I say you're going to think I was a little pussycat marshmallow before. I'm going to be all over everybody trying to persuade you to fear God and stop thinking you're okay because you're here in this room. I'm going to get all over you and leave it at that. And that's that. I'll leave it at that. And what I am is plain to God. I'm okay with that and secure in it. And I can only hope that it is plain to your conscience as well. And if it's not, then may your conscience be straightened out with a reconversion or something. May Christ be reformed in you, that you may see the truth. But now I have a blank check to let the Word of God rain down with no apologies, with no explanations, with no softenings. Isn't that awesome, Michael? That's what you look forward to. I mean, I have a blank check. I got my dumb old oafy self out of the way, thanks to my brother Mario, saying, "Brother, and I am out of the way." And now the Word of God gets to rain down and do what it does. And there is no, you know, that net that drops into the lake is not a safety net. Okay, and I think some of us think, that's my safety net. You know, woo, that's my safety net here. No, that's no safety net. I actually saw a starfish in there, and I'm sure that's not a disciple. I actually saw some moss in there and some seaweed. You know, that moss and seaweed thinks that it's a disciple. Anyway, there is no safety net anymore. You are going to have to do God's will. God is going to have to confirm it. You're going to have to know by faith that what you are is plain to God. That is awesome. That is so awesome. And it is going to rain down. And the cool thing is, here's the cool thing. some of us get nervous. I know Shao's been nervous and Jonelle's been nervous. Those are the two. I mean, those two girls, oh, man. I mean, they have been through the wars in this ministry. They've seen it attacked brutally by Satan in intense ways. And I understand them being a little nervous about, you know, what's going on. But let me tell you this. Jesus said in Matthew 16, and we don't have to turn there, but Jesus said in Matthew 16, he's talked about the church that Peter was going to have the keys to. And he said, you know, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You know, Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You think some wimpy, gossipy, whiny, sin-filled, outside meddler can overcome the church when the gates of Hades can't even do it? I'm pretty confident that the gates of Hades could come bang against this room and this ministry and have no impact other than to shake those who aren't really fish or good fish. And amen. That'll be the way it'll be. So the gates of Hades are not going to overcome it. Don't worry about it. The word will be preached, it will rain down, and we will see it bud and flourish and nourish and accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. And I believe that has something to do with maybe getting a little more toward 1.5 million than 15. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together tonight. Father, I do pray for the ministry with my whole heart, Father, that the disciples will be disciples. That, Father, people are going to die spiritually if they are not disciples. That they will not be able to make it. And Father, I know that it is your will that people be tested. I know it is your will, Father, that the gates of Hades and that Satan himself, even according to Matthew 13, that go ahead and plant his weeds, whatever. And Father, you have instituted your church. You have instituted your ministry. You have instituted the kingdom of heaven on earth. And Father, we must believe and know that the gates of hell will not overcome it, no matter what. Father, I pray that gives us great confidence. I pray, Father, that takes so much pressure off. Father, I pray that we are relieved, that we no longer have to hold our breath, go under the water, try to talk through the water without seeing, and do your job. Father, thank you so much for relieving us of that burden. Father, thank you for my brother Mario, who risked everything he has and everything he is to get us to operate like the true kingdom of heaven. Father, I pray that your will be done. I pray, Father, the purposes of your word will be achieved, accomplished, and it will return to you having been done. Father, I pray that we will just preach it without hindrance and not apologize for you or get in the way of you. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.